This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to talk a lot of different sports today, but we're going to start out talking golf today with Michigan State's coach, Casey Lubon, and we're going to talk with him about the Michigan that's being played right now, the Michigan Amateur Open, and we're going to talk some college and professional golf with Casey. So let's bring in our guest, Casey Lubon. Casey, how you doing?
I'm good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, great. It's a pleasure to have you on and talk a little golf with you. The Michigan Amateur is going on right now. Are there many Spartans left or still competing in that?
We got one who's all square going to 18 right now, Jimmy Dooling, senior for us, who's all square going to the last hole of his third round match. And then Chris Morey was just eliminated this morning in the third round. And he eliminated his partner, his teammate, Dan Ellis, in the second round. So kind of bad luck that two of our best players had to play each other in the second round. But exciting event.
Oh, yes, it is. And, of course, if anybody is left standing near the end, that'll be great for Michigan State. For you, how have you been in coming back here, and how's the recruiting? I know you can't talk about any specifics, but how's the recruiting been going in general for you?
Oh, it's fantastic. It really has been a wonderful transition for me and my family. And we started recruiting right away, and we got a class coming in here in August that we're really excited about. The ones that we can talk about, the Missouri state champion. He won the state championship in Missouri by 6 shots and qualified for the U.S. Amateur Public Links this week. A couple of great players. We had one day last week where three of our recruits won their respective high school regionals. So things are going well, and we'll keep working hard to make sure they stay that way.
Oh, that's good. We know that Michigan State has made a lot of strides in golf over the last years, and of course that has to make you feel good and feel strong about Michigan State and their potential. They've always had great potential in golf, and we've had some success in the past. I know they want to get back to how good it used to be. Do you see any problems, or are a lot of obstacles in your way to bring the making the program successful again?
You know, not really. Mark Hollis and our administration have put everything in place to make sure that this golf program, both our golf programs with Stacy and ours, continue to have the tools necessary to win championships. Since we've got back, you just look at the numbers, 113 spots in the national ranking we improved this year. Went from 10th to 4th in the Big Ten. We've had some good things happen, and a big reason why is the community and the department taking such good care of us. And the kids have responded nicely. So we're looking forward to next year. We bring back 4 players who finished top 20 of Big Ten. We're the only team in the conference to have 4 players in the top 20. And all those guys are coming back next year. So should be a good year.
Hey, Casey, how good is the Big Ten? I mean, we've seen the numbers, and the numbers seem to place up fairly well, but how good is the Big Ten as far as a golf tournament?
Good question. Steadily on the rise. We had a little bit of a down year this year, which was surprising, but last year, 2011, 4 teams from the Big Ten finished as a top 10 in America. So this conference, with the resources, what we're doing with facilities indoor and outdoor, is going to be right there with most of the major conferences in college golf. In most given years, we're going to send 6 to 8 teams to the NCAA tournament, which is very similar to the numbers you'd see in basketball.
Yes, it's amazing because, we can't go outside and play in the winter or anything, but yet we still do good in the sport of golf. So that's, I know for a lot of people, we find that, how can Michigan State do that when we're going against the southern schools and the schools out west, and we don't have a real super indoor facility. We've got those places out there at the that you can hit out of. But is this sort of special that a state like Michigan can succeed in the sport of golf, even though we don't can't play outside, can't get out there year round?
Good question. You know, I would say 10 years ago, I think it would be more of a challenge than it is today. But there's two things that are happening. One, we have facilities where we can hit balls year-round. We can chip and putt year-round. We travel a lot in the month of February and March to get our kids ready for the NCAAs and Big Tens at the end of April. And the biggest difference is, for us specifically, is Michigan is full of junior talent. And it's becoming more and more popular for these kids to stay home and go to school at a Michigan State, at a University of Michigan, at an Ohio State, where they're going to play close to home at a big institution. The old adage of when great players were growing up, they're always going to go south. We don't hear that as much anymore. And what you're seeing is these kids are staying home, enjoying the environment they're in, succeeding at a school they've grown up with, and really changing the landscape of college golf. You know, and Michigan is such a strong example of one of those underrated states that has a ton of good junior players year after year after year. And my job as coach of Michigan State is to recruit those players. We want the Michigan kids coming here and this being their home for collegiate golf. So that's a long answer to your question, but I think it's a trend you're going to continue to see where the northern schools will compete day in, day out. With anybody in the nation.
Do you see us, you know, we've been recruiting and have had some pretty good golfers over the years. Do you see many of our golfers making it to the PGA Tour?
Yeah, we actually have, there's about a five-year lag between when they leave school and when they have a chance to play the tours. And we're starting to see that now. Matt Harmon was a 2007 graduate. Played for me, and we were actually teammates. He just got fully exempt on the Nationwide Tour. He's 34th on the money list. If he gets the 25th on the money list or better, he's going to play the PGA Tour next year, which we think is fairly likely with a guy like Matt. You know, Ryan Bram, who graduated in 2008, he's coming out now. He's on the developmental tours. Jack Newman, Randy Hutchinson, all these guys are right on the precipice now and playing the PGA Tour. And it speaks volumes about why we won Big Ten championships in 05, 07, and 08. When you got players like that. You look on the women's side, they've got four or five players in the last decade who have played the LPGA Tour. So just a matter of time. And then when those people are out there in this community supporting us and being such great fans of golf as they are, you know, I hope they know that they're helping to do this too. I mean, the reason Matt Harmon is almost on the PGA Tour is in large part to what everybody did for him when he was here at Michigan State.
Now, would you say the difference, is it more than just professional golf and college golf? Is the difference just the money, that there's so much money available? Or is there something else that makes you a good professional golfer as opposed to just, you know, you're out there competing for money? But is that the main thing, or is there something else to that?
Well, you gotta want a life. You want that lifestyle early. You know, the hardest part about some of our kids who go and play is that's 35 weeks a year on the road. And the moment you say go, you're living out of your car, you're living out of a hotel. And playing for money is very, you know, is nerve-wracking. Every shot, especially for Matt, let's say, you know, every shot in a Nationwide Tour event could be $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000. So you kind of see those kids who build reliable golf games and prepare themselves off the course for what their next stage is going to be like. You know, as far as the family and all those things, they become very difficult your first couple of years out there. So every kid is different. I think every situation is different. But if you can manage everything away from the golf course and understand on the golf course you're not going to be able to worry about money, you just have to go play, I think you got a good chance. But, you know, a lot of times what happens is young men and women go out with limited resources, and then every shot they're thinking about dollar signs. And that's a tough way to go.
Yes. Now, what about even though you know, you've got to compete and you got to go do compete specifically for money, but also the courses. Every course you're going to change is different. So how do you prepare? Do you just prepare to be the best golfer, or do you try to do things that could say just enhance your play on certain golf courses? How difficult is it, the challenge of playing on different golf courses from week to week?
It's tough, especially if you don't have exposure. I mean, the grass has changed. You know, soils change as you move south. The biggest challenge would be in putting. Okay, Bermuda greens, even though they're getting really good with the hybrid type greens and the fast Bermuda, it's still a lot different. There's grain, there's, you know, the chipping, a lot of things around the green. Hitting the ball is pretty much the same no matter where you go on planet Earth. But chipping and putting, which is 60% or more of the game, changes significantly. So one of the things we try and do in college golf is prepare them by taking them all over America. And, you know, go play a tournament in California, go play a tournament in Florida, go play a tournament in Texas. So that if professional golf is your next mission, that you can at least say you've had some experience with those elements and make adjustments on the fly. But it's a challenge, no question.
Now, I've heard a lot about Forest Acres. I hear that's one of the best college golf courses in America. How good do you think is Forest Acres is, and is that a really great benefit for Michigan State?
Oh, it's a wonderful university-owned golf course. Such good memories for me and my wife, who was a Big Ten champion there on that course, to play it, you know, when we're here back in East Lansing. It's challenging. It's getting a little shorter by today's standards, but the greens, when they get them nice, Sean O'Connor, the superintendent, gets them fast and firm like he can, they can really, really provide a good challenge. So it's great. You know, it's a natural arboretum, which is so cool. All the different types of trees in Michigan are on our golf course. It's, you know, it's got the country feel, and it's only a mile from campus. It's a special place. You know, I'm standing by the 13th green here today, and I just never get tired of being here at Forest Acres.
Yes, I'm over there quite a bit. I work out over there, so I'm in there quite a bit. It's a lovely course. It's always beautiful, and they really do a good job of keeping it up, and that's got to be a big plus for the people when they get out there to golf and go out there, because it is such a very, very good course.
It's all a wonderful golf course and home to our practice facilities, and, you know, really where we come most days for practice, but also we're blessed in this town to have so many good golf courses. It's really a dream come true for a golf program.
Okay. Hey, Casey, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and we'll have you back on again and talk more golf. We've got a couple of more, couple of majors coming up, and we know we'll see what's going to happen with them. And I still don't like the fact that they don't call it the British Open anymore. They're just calling it the Open.
But Well, that's the original. Yeah. Well, give me a call around that time. I'd love to talk about it.
Hokey dokey. We'll call you then, Casey. Yep. Bye-bye. Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Casey Lubon, the Michigan State coach, talking golf with him right here on AM 870 WKAR. 19 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Warden Don Cabana led the push for a new Supermax unit at Mississippi's Parchman Prison, a decision he called in 2006 his biggest regret.
We're taking some bad folks and we're making them even worse. We're making them even meaner.
Now inmates in a number of prisons file suit over their treatment. I'm Neil Conan, Supermax Prisons. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Our forecast for today, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. There is a chance of rain and thunderstorms today. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low 60. It'll be mostly sunny both Friday and Saturday. Tomorrow's high is 78 degrees. On Saturday, we'll get to the low 80s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to talk with Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News and talk about what's going on here at Michigan State and some of the football things as we're getting ready now for football season. We're starting to get ready of that, even though we're almost 2 months away, but it's that time. So let's bring in Matt. Matt, are you getting prepared for football season?
I suppose, Earl. It doesn't feel like that this time of year, but before we know it, we'll be out there.
Yes, we will. That's for sure. Well, we read a little bit today about Thomas and Burbridge are trying to get ready for the upcoming season. And, boy, it sounds like Lawrence Thomas has put on a lot of weight.
Yeah, Mark told us yesterday 290. I mean,
yeah,
that's a pretty big linebacker, and you know he didn't really get into specifics about where he was going to play. That wasn't really wanted to do, but you know, I think logically we got to probably be thinking this is a guy who might be doing something like William Golston did when he came here and make that move to whether it be defensive end or what it might be. But you know, I don't think they're locked into anything like that yet, but. I would certainly think at that size, it's got to be something they're thinking about at least right now.
Yeah, I would say so too. Yeah, I mean, when you get that big, 290, it's awful hard to play linebacker and move around at 290 pounds.
You find a guy with that size who can move around. That's, well, I don't know. You don't find those every day, so yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges that they've got, and they've got a few other challenges that we know of. Michigan State and Coach D'Antonio, they've got a lot of question marks they've got to answer. I mean, we don't know about the quarterback and receivers for the most part. I mean, they seem to be very confident of all the guys they have, don't they?
Yeah, they do, because as Mark said yesterday, he's got plenty of talented guys. Just at this point, the question is. The lack of experience, who's really going to step up. But, as he said, he'd much rather have that than, the opposite, a bunch of old guys who aren't very good. So, to me, it's going to be interesting which of those guys, especially when you're talking about receiver, who's really going to take that next step.
Yeah.
Is it a guy that's been around, whether it's Lippitt or is Fowler going to be healthy? But you look at the freshman coming in, De'Anthony Arnett, the transfer, Andre Sims, the redshirt. I mean, you've got a lot of guys there. With ability, it's just a matter of we're going to be those two, three guys that are really going to kind of take that step forward here in August when they get to camp, and who's really going to kind of mesh and gel with Andrew Maxwell. So I think it's pretty wide open, and they certainly got a lot of options. And, they could go really in direction. I'm also forgetting about Juwan Caesar, a guy who sat out last year who's healthy now. So they've got plenty of talent and a lot of options. It's just going to be interesting to see which of those guys really kind of take that big step.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you look at it, this should be a pretty good team. But I started thinking about the other end. There's going to be a lot of teams coming at Michigan State who want revenge in their heart, who they beat. I mean, when you win 11 games back-to-back and for 2 years, I think there are a lot of teams out there that are going to be thinking, hey, we want to get a piece of Michigan State now. Kirk Cousins is gone, and they're probably going to have a lot of incentive to try to smack down the Spartans.
Yeah, and I got to think team number one and that list is going to be right down the road in Ann Arbor. I mean, if there's, that motivation is there for them that hasn't been around for a while. But here's the thing. I mean, they may want to beat them badly, but, you can't look past the fact that Michigan State, okay, they have a new quarterback and receivers, but you look at all the rest of that team, it's not like they're playing a bunch of beginners. So
right. There
may be a lot of teams lining up wanting revenge for an 11-win team the last 2 years, but I'm not so sure many are going to get it this year. I mean, this is a pretty talented team. And, I think just with any team, when you win that much, everyone kind of wants to knock off the team that's on top. And that's what they've been the last 2 years. So, I don't think any week's going to be easy out there. You got the Michigan, Wisconsin back to back. You got Nebraska again, Ohio State. So there's not too many weeks off, that's for sure. So when you add in the fact they're all gunning for them, it's not going to be an easy road.
Okay. Got a caller for you. We got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Earl. Good afternoon, Mr. Charbonneau. Two quick comments or extra questions. First of all, with a young quarterback who's got to come in and do some things, I always feel that a couple of nice tight ends always helps make that transition. Obviously, a fail-safe or a check-down guy. We've all seen flashes with Deion Sims. We look at him physically and what he's able to do and he's on top of his game. Is this the year that we can really expect him to take a hold of that position and maybe produce a little bit more? I know they kind of rotate, and it's hard for one guy to get in there. I know Mitchcomb was a good player, but I think that, I would expect a little bit more from him. Is that how the coaching staff feels? And then finally, obviously, losing a defensive captain and a very good player in Trenton Robinson, a guy that went out there and made plays and led by example. If you were to guess right now, that secondary looks very strong, but who would you guess would be the favorite or a guy that we should expect to step up and take Robinson's spot as the starter? Again, that secondary looks awful tough, but Robinson necessarily wasn't always the biggest guy out on the field, but I'll tell you what, everyone knew he was out there. So if you could help me with those two questions, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would say we'd get first with the tight end situation. I mean, Are the coaches expecting a big season from Deion Sims? Absolutely. As you stated, I mean, this kid has shown flashes of just amazing talent ability. I mean, the key for him at this point is going to be staying healthy. He's got, you know, he went through spring with that big cast on hand, but it's supposed to be off, you know, for the start of camp in August. So, you know, there's not a lot of depth behind him, certainly in terms of experience. But, I mean, you're right. The tight ends are a big deal in this offense. Deion Sims, they're expecting a ton from. I don't think they're afraid of saying that. So, you know, Andrew Maxwell's got to get, you know, mesh well with those receivers. But having Deion Sims is going to be a big part of it too. So they are certainly expecting a big year out of him. And, you know, and then defensively with Trent Robinson, I mean, you're right. This guy, he wasn't always the biggest, strongest, fastest kid, but emotionally he was absolutely the leader of that defense last year. So, you know, replacing him isn't necessarily going to be that easy in terms of a leadership standpoint. I would put the front runner right now, Curtis Drummond, a kid who played a decent amount last year. R.J. Williamson's in there, who redshirted last year. They're kind of almost a 1 and 1A at this point. And we're really going to see what happens in the fall with those two guys. Although, you know, if I had to pick right now, I'd probably stick with Curtis Drummond at this point. But, you know, you could see Williamson in there in a lot of different situations. So, you know, I think that secondary depth is pretty solid. I think they are talented back there when you talk about the corners with Adams and Denard. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see who, not so much who replaces him as a talent, but who's going to replace that kind of emotional edge that Trent Robinson gave them. That's going to be probably the biggest shoe to fill, I guess you could say, for a guy like Robinson.
You know, everything went right for them last year. They seemed like to guess on the plays to call and on the formation, and it seemed like everything just fell into place. Do you worry about this year that maybe things that went pretty easy for them last couple of years, there's probably going to be a little bit more difficulty this year?
Well, probably. You know, I guess if you ask Mark D'Antoni, you might not say everything went right when you think about you know, the roughing the punter in the championship game. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah, a lot of things got to go your way to win 11 games 2 years in a row. So, yeah, there's always part of that thought in the back of the head. What if this is the year when everything doesn't go right? But I think what they've done there is they've created a team and depth and talent to where even if you have a lot of things go wrong, the days of this team stepping back and only winning 4 or 5 games, I think those are really a distant memory. I think even a year when you get a lot of bad luck, bad breaks, bad hops, this is still an 8-9 win team, I think, you know, in a down year at this point, just with the talent they've kind of put on this team. So, you know, they know it's not all going to go perfect. It's not all going to go right. So, you know, it's probably in their mind, but I don't think they worry too much about it. I think he's really built a solid, deep, talented team. And, you know, when you have that, you can overcome a lot of those little things.
You know, Matt, when we look at the other team, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, those kind of teams, they've all really increased their pressure in their recruiting. State's hanging in there and doing a good job, even though D'Antonio doesn't go after all those so-called recruits, the 4 or 5-star recruits. But they've done a good job in doing that. But how do you factor in how you think they're doing against what all the other schools are doing?
Well, the interesting thing now is, you know, he's made a name for himself as a heck of an evaluator of talent. I mean, we can go on and on about the 2 and 3-star guys that he's brought in. I mean, look at this last senior class, but guys that got drafted. How many of these guys were beyond a 3-star? I don't think any of them were. So I think Michigan State and Mark D'Antoni are being noticed now as people that don't just have to go for the, you know, the blue chip guy. They're finding talent all over the place, whether it be 2-star, 3-stars. And, you know, part of that, I think, is going to backfire on them a little. And it's not, you know, it's another control that people are going to see them going after some 2, 3 stars. And suddenly some of the bigger programs are going to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we're missing something.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it's kind of just an ongoing battle in terms of recruiting. I think he's just Mark and his staff have done such a good job of finding those guys that maybe the big programs aren't that high on, that they see something in them. So, you know, they recruit to their system as well as anybody. And, you know, if there's anything he has done dramatically in his 5, 6 years here, it has improved that recruiting. I mean, it's not too often they miss on guys these days. So, you know, I think they're absolutely on the right track recruiting-wise. I know people get hung, you know, caught up in the rankings and how many recruits you have committed. But, you know, from what I gather, they're exactly where they want to be. They're finding the guys they want to fit their system. So, you know, the rankings can say whatever they want. They're going to go ahead and take the wins on the field.
Yes, and they've done a good job of that. One thing that that I've noticed that they've done a very good job in on over these past years, I used to complain about this all the time, but they seem to have solved it. The depth on this team really seems to be outstanding these days. Do you see that as the depth improving? I mean, it used to be a time, you know, when I covered them, I even think when you were here, some of those early years, once they went to the bench, the play would drop off dramatically. Well, we don't have that anymore, do we?
Yeah, and I think that's a sign of really improving your program. You're right. I mean, before he showed up, you get one injury and you're in big, giant trouble. So, I mean, we look at the perfect example now is that linebacking position. I mean, you got guys not playing who've been redshirted who could probably be starting in a lot of other Big Ten programs right now. So, you look at that starting unit this year, you finally are going to have one senior. The other two guys are juniors, and you're looking at some pretty, pretty talented kids down there that are just chomping at the bit to get on the field. So, you're right. I mean, in the past, that never was there. Now you're seeing it not just in that position group. You're seeing it all over the field, whether it be in the secondary. You're seeing it in the offensive line now. You'll start to see it in receivers, although it's all young right now. He's bringing in a lot of talented kids. So that depth, I think that's the best indicator of how Mark has turned this program around is the depth and the amount of recruiting he's been able to do since he's been here. And as you've alluded to, it's night and day from what it used to be.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's so different. They're just so much stronger these days. And, like you said, they've got a lot of quality recruits. Even though they're so-called 2- and 3-star recruits, they're just playing good football players.
Yeah. And, I guess you go back to the thing of coaching them up. I mean, these guys know how to, like I said, recruiting to the system. They might recruit a guy that another team doesn't think fits their system very well, but they're recruiting to it here at Michigan State. And these guys, I mean, we could go on and on about the guys that have proven that some of these rankings don't mean anything. I mean, Kirk Cousins was the prime example. You got guys on the team right now like Le'Veon Bell was a 2-star. So, these guys are projected to be first-round draft picks. So, I don't put too much stock in that ranking stuff. And Mark has really proven that when it comes to finding the guys for his system, he does as well as anybody out there.
Yeah, that's good. Give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527. Toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're talking with Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News. So call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. How do you think, Matt, how do you think Mark has changed since he's been here for 5 years now, going into year six?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't seen him change a whole heck of a lot, to be honest with you. I mean, he's never the the big fiery rah rah kind of guy. He's just when it comes to us, he's very reserved. His number one priority has always been his players first, and kind of providing an experience for them and preparing them for life. And he says that all the time. He understands that winning is really the bottom line at this level, but it's for him and his staff, it's as much as preparing these kids and giving them experiences maybe they wouldn't have had before, and winning kind of comes with that. So I haven't seen him change a lot. To me, he's still a pretty humble guy, even with the success the last couple of years. I don't think you see it go to his head. To him, there's too many other things they still want to accomplish. They want to get to a Rose Bowl. They want to keep consistently competing in the Big Ten. And, they're not afraid, too, to say that a national championship somewhere down the road is what they want to be playing for. So I don't think you'll see any complacency in him. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen him change a whole lot, to be honest with you. In my mind, he's still focused and dedicated on keeping this program at the top.
Do you think this team is ready to start maybe even being mentioned in the national championship conversation, or are they maybe a couple of years away?
Well, yeah, maybe legitimately, seriously, another year or two away, but considering the defense they have now, some of the other players, with that offensive line and the running game, I don't think it's too crazy to say if you're trying to come up with long shots or dark horses or whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's way out of line to think that. So, I've seen some places out there already have kind of speculated that. So it may be a little premature, maybe pushing it a little, but, it's certainly a heck of a lot better to be in that discussion than you know, never even coming up in it. So I think that's the direction they're headed. And I think you're right. Probably the next year or two, you can be looking at, you know, a team that is no longer in the dark horse category. This is a legit team. And, you know, and teams across the country are going to have to kind of take notice of that.
Yeah, man. What do you think about the new ruling? Of course, we will have a championship game by 2014, and the BCS will be eliminated. How do you feel about this whole thing and how this is going in the direction college football is headed?
Well, this is my personal feeling. I'm just not a big fan of it, to be honest with you. I think if you're going to have a playoff or call it a playoff, let's have a true playoff. In my opinion, at four teams, we're still essentially in the same spot we are. Yeah. Right now, we're just calling it something different, setting up a little different. I mean, you're still talking about four of the elite teams, and in my mind, you're keeping out a lot of teams that deserve a shot at it. I mean, that's just my feeling. If you're going to have a true playoff, let's make it a real playoff. And if you're not, stick with the bowl system. I mean, we all understand what it is, and, you know, it gets everyone a nice trip for a week somewhere warm. But to me, I don't think this system comes a whole heck of a lot closer to truly defining a champion that you decide on the field. I just think it's too small and too narrow right now to truly determine who the best team is out there. I think if you're going to do a playoff, I say make it a real playoff, get more teams in. But that's my personal opinion. I don't know if that's coming anytime soon. I doubt it is. You know, the big conferences are going to continue to make all their money on this. So I think it's a ways down the line before we see anything like that.
Yes, because I'm like you with that. I don't see it. I mean, yeah, this four teams right now, and like you said, they've been doing a pretty good job with it for the years that we've seen, just figuring out who the top two teams are. Yes, occasionally there's a third team in there that you would have to give consideration, but mostly they've done a pretty good job. And with this now new four team format, we know that eventually it's going to be changed. It's because more teams will be demanding that we get a shot at the. Playing for the title or playing in the championship. So, yes, I think you're right. I think this is the beginning, basically, of having a playoff system. Right now, four teams, but I can eventually see it expanding to eight, maybe 12 teams eventually.
Yeah, in my personal opinion, I hope that comes sooner rather than later. I mean, I don't know how soon it'll come. I think it will. I agree with you there. I just think at the point we're at now, I don't see it as a true playoff. It's kind of more, in my opinion, just adding an extra game, you know, between, you know, the two teams. But if we're going to do a playoff, I just think let's do it for real and get a lot of conference champions in and let's really determine who the best team is out there.
Yes, that would be sure. I would love to do that. Yes. And you know, they're still talking about getting the Boise States and the teams from the smaller conferences. I'm not a big fan of including all the smaller conferences in there. So I don't know, but they're going to factor a way to get them in there because, in all honesty, like we've seen with Boise, they can rise up to occasion and play that one good game or that one game. They can come into Michigan State or anybody, they can play them once a week. But I've always said with the smaller conferences, you make them play in a big conference like the Big Ten or the SEC or somewhere, and they have to go in week in and week out. That I think we all have a different take on the teams from the smaller conferences.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, playing in a tougher conference certainly is going to make it tougher. But, you know, the other thing I say, too, is I use a basketball example of Butler. 2 years in a row, they're in the Final Four. I mean, they run through 5-6 games of tougher competition. And, yeah, they didn't win it, but I just think having that I guess opportunity out there is what I love about it, is that the chance is there as opposed to someone just telling you, no, you're not good enough, you can't be here. There's always going to be limitations to it, and you got to draw the line somewhere. But I've just always been more of a proponent of let's let them decide it. Let's not have a group of people or some ranking or poll system determine you're not good enough without doing it on the field. That's kind of just my personal thing. You know, I know the smaller conferences aren't, you know, 9 times out of 10 aren't going to compete most of the time with the bigger conferences, but I just say have that opportunity out there and let them prove it, you know, one way or the other on the field.
Okay. Hey, Matt, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. I know we'll be seeing a lot more of each other here in the very near future, buddy.
You got it, Earl.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Matt.
All right.
Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
To stop the flow of thousands of guns that illegally cross the U.S. border into Mexico every year, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives launched Operation Fast and Furious. We all know how it ended. Agents lost track of hundreds of weapons, some later linked to serious crimes. Now the Attorney General's locked in a showdown with Congress. I'm Neil Conan, Fast and Furious, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. This is Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. Today's high, 85 degrees, mostly sunny, with a chance of some rain and thunderstorms. Partly cloudy and a low of 60 tonight. It'll be mostly sunny on Friday, the high 78. Mostly sunny for Saturday, the high 82.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, I got a few tickets we'll give away here. If you want a pair of tickets to go to the Capital City Cage Fight Championships coming up on Saturday, June 30th. We've got a couple of pair to give away, so give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, and you will have a pair of tickets here for you. But give us a call at 353-5000. Let us know you'd like a pair of tickets to the Capital City Cage Match coming up on Saturday, June 30th. I think you'll like that. For everybody that loves cage fighting, that's the way to go, and we've got a couple of pair of tickets for you. They always have a good matches there from Ron DeLeon, and so give us a call at that number, 353-5000, and win your chance to win tickets to the Capital City Cage Matches coming up on June 30th. So we're going to be talking a lot more sports here in the next 20 minutes. As you know, the NBA playoff championship could be over tonight. It might end tonight. Miami might put Oklahoma City out of their misery. They're up 3-1 now, and no one has came back from a 3-1 match series to win a championship game. Hasn't happened 34 times as the teams have had the chance in the NBA, and no team has done it yet. So I don't think Oklahoma City can come back, to be honest with you. I thought they'd win it at first. I said that from the beginning because they had the home court advantage. Now, even if they get back to home court, if they're able to win this one tonight and get back to Orlando for the next two, I'm not so sure if that will happen. I mean, LeBron James really seems to be playing at a very high level and wanting to win this championship. And so he is a determined young man, and he's got Dwayne Wade is determined to win him another one. And, of course, Chris Bosh is determined to get his first ring as well. So there are a lot of in Oklahoma City, they're a team that's still growing as well. Both teams are fairly young and have a lot of good talent. I think both of them teams will get better here in the coming years. But we'll look for Miami to win this championship. And I expect they'll probably close it out tonight. I can't say for sure because Oklahoma City, one of the hardest things to do in sports is to close a team out when you got them down 3-1 and you got to win a fourth game. That's awful hard to do, whether it's baseball or football or any sport, golf or you know, with basketball here. It's hard to close a team out. And basketball is a sport where might makes right. If you got a team that's bigger and stronger, you usually can win it because there's never anything that makes it an equal or easy test for someone in the playoffs. So, you know, we'll look to it tonight. We'll look and see if Miami can shut the door on it and make this a 5-game series. So that's the question. If we watch this game, and a lot of us will get together and watch this game tonight. And so if you watch it, and you have a good chance to see that Miami is going to win this series. Also, we found out that the WBO, which upheld the fight between Pacquiao and Bradley, that they're going to let the results stand. The organization, they had their experts, 5 of them, review the fight, and all of the experts gave it to Pacquiao, gave it to Pacquiao. So that those results will stand. They're not going to usurp those requirements. Yes, that's one thing I think you have to realize in sports. Yeah. Just because you don't think it's a good decision, that doesn't make it the right decision. That doesn't mean that you're right. If you're thinking that something could be that you've been wronged or someone else has been wronged. So that the only thing we can say is that, well, hey, the judges made a wrong decision, or they made a bad decision, or they didn't make the right one. But that doesn't mean it deserves to be overturned just because you think that they made a bad decision. So that's something that you just have to look out for. In some changes might take place there. But hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Do you think that Miami will close it out tonight? Give us your thoughts on that. Let's ask Aaron. Aaron, do you think Miami's going to close it out tonight, buddy?
Absolutely they will. Yeah, no, I just think Miami's got Oklahoma's number. And like you said earlier, I just think LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, all three of them combined, they're just too determined. You know, I understand that LeBron's got some cramps going on, but he's scheduled to play tonight. Obviously, I think we all knew that. He wasn't going to sit out by any means. I think they win tonight, and they'll be the championship winners, and some naysayers will be put to rest. But we know how they are with LeBron, and I don't think they'll stop naysaying LeBron.
Right.
So. Because I guess he did say that he would not win, not one, not two, not three, but so on and so on. I think we all remember that story. So, yeah, I think they pull it out tonight and win the championship.
Yeah, I hope some of them will stop hating on LeBron so much. I mean, yes, he was a young man, and he made a bad mistake. That was definitely a poor choice of doing that, of showing the decision and doing all that. So, you know, hopefully, I think he's learned from it. I don't know if the people have learned from it. I hope he's learned from it. And I don't think we'd see him make a mistake like that again. And he's seen how much, how difficult it is to win an NBA championship. It's not easy to win one. So, when you got like 16 really good teams out of the 30 teams that are really good and have a chance every year to get, once they get in the playoffs, it's awfully hard for them to go through and win everything. So, you know, hopefully what we'll see that he's learned from that, and I'm pretty sure he's learned from that, and he's going to benefit from that, and he knows how to win, and he knows how difficult it is to win at this level.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to win at this level. You know, as you said earlier, I'm sure he learned from his mistakes of saying the way he handled, you know, going to Miami, which is, you know, I think that's like the number one reason a lot of people have been sort of hating on him, or whatever the choice of word you want to use for him is. But, yeah, I mean, that was kind of, I think we all know, and I think he's well aware that was a little idiotic of himself to do it that way. But, I guess if he wins a championship, I think a lot of professionals would probably say, well, you know, he's got one in the books. Now he's got some more to win, and, life goes on. So that's just how the sort of the system is. But, you know, that's how it is with great players. You know, I was a little younger when Jordan was around, but in his prime years, I don't know if Jordan was the same way. If you kind of the deal where you're either you loved him or you hated him, I'm sure that was kind of the same deal with Jordan too. Great players kind of obviously stick out, and a lot of people don't like. I don't know what it is. They're jealous, or they have another player that they like more. So they have to hate on someone. So LeBron's in the same boat. He's a great player. He's one of the best in the NBA, if not the best. That's obviously debatable, but. it's always going to be great players, always going to have your naysayers, and then you're going to have your followers that like you. But obviously, when you have a great player, they make mistakes too. They're not always perfect. So, hopefully he learns from this, and if he wins a championship, hopefully after winning he doesn't say anything stupid. So hopefully, I kind of want him to win it so we can kind of put some of this to rest, because frankly, I'm getting a little tired of talking about whether or not he's going to win one. We all know he was going to win one. Whether or not it's tonight or not, we'll wait and see. But I'm kind of hoping that he puts it to rest, and hopefully he takes it, you know, in a mature manner, not in an immature manner, which we've seen players do in the past.
Oh, for sure. So, yeah, I think he's going to win one. He'll finally get that monkey off his back from and everybody. Because if they don't win it, you know, if somehow Orlando comes back and wins the series, the people won't say that Miami got beat or choked. They'll be saying LeBron lost it. It was his fault. You know, either he'll get all the blame. If he wins, he won't get all the credit, but he'll certainly get all the blame.
Yeah, exactly. And, they'll blame him for sure. I mean, he's the guy. He's the leader of that team, even though, let's face it. I mean, Wade is still one of the better players in the NBA. And I think some people kind of forget that, as well. And, you know, Bosch is a great player as well. And, you know, he's kind of the third forgotten guy of the group, of the team. But, they'll always blame it on LeBron. I mean, that's, like I said, he's one of the most, looked at players in the NBA. So you got to point the blame on someone. But as we know, it's a team game, and there's many other factors. But when you're leader of the team, you're expected to do certain things a lot more than other players. So they will blame him if somehow Oklahoma doesn't somehow magically win the series. But that's how it goes.
Yep, that's for sure. And that's the thing with him. I mean, he's such a good player. He is definitely, like you say, one of the best in the league today, if not the best. He's one of the best for sure. And yet someone like him who is so good and so accomplished, he just doesn't get the credit he's due. Like I said, a lot of it's because of that the way he left and went to Miami. But if he had stayed in Cleveland, they'd still be struggling because they never did build the team up around him. And I don't know if they didn't draft right or how it worked out there. They've certainly gotten better since he's left the organization, and they've starting to build an all-around good team. But before then, boy, you would say, how can LeBron win with these guys and win a championship? And he knew he couldn't win a team by himself, and so he wanted to go someplace where they had other good players, and those three coming together, it made for a great presence for Miami, and it made for a very strong presence for them.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at I got a friend that's from Ohio, and a lot of people from Ohio obviously don't care for LeBron, but for certain reasons, of course. But he understood that the organization there at Cleveland, he wanted to win championships and he couldn't do it on his own. I mean we all know that he took that team on his shoulders quite a bit. I mean, it was a lot of it was on him. Sure, he had good players around him, but some of those players after he left turned out. I think you kind of saw how, they were okay, but they weren't the greatest. But LeBron was able to make them even better players, which is part of the success. But, I think part of it, too, is he realized that that organization wasn't going to get him championships, and he decided, like you said, to go where he thought he had the best chance to get championships. How he handled it, as we said before, wasn't the greatest. But he realized that Cleveland wasn't the place to do it, and so he decided to move on, and obviously he didn't handle it the way he should have, but that's another story. But so it is what it is, and I expect him hopefully to win a championship tonight.
Yes, well, let's give away a few more Cage tickets. We've got tickets to the Capital City Cage Fighting, and that's taking place on June 30th, and we've got a pair of tickets to give away. That's to the general admission is $20 if you want to just go up and buy you a couple of seats. It's at the Mid-Michigan Sports Academy, 3000 South Miller Road, or West Miller Road, that is. The Mid-Michigan Sports Academy, 3000 West Miller Road in Lansing. So that's where the fights are at. And so hopefully, if you go, you'll find that, very entertaining. I've been there to a few of them, man, Aaron. They've had some good cage fights, and I think you might enjoy that in Lansing. And we know the young folks like it, so I'm quite sure you'd probably like and be a little bit surprised on how good these guys are.
Yeah, I'm sure I would be, because I honestly don't know, the mechanics behind the sport and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I probably would be quite surprised. And, yeah, you're definitely right about the young people definitely like this kind of style.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've discussed it before. Boxing is a little more old school in the sense that, you know, the audience is a little bit older, and then, you know, this kind of style is a little bit more younger crowd, and that's just how it is. But, yeah, you're probably right. I probably would enjoy it. Not as long as I'm not in the cage. That's the key. As long as I'm not in the cage, I'm okay.
Well, you could go in as a judge or something like that, or referee. And
For some reason, I'm sure I'm still find my way into a fist coming into my head somehow. And so I probably just stay outside the cage is my best bet.
Okay, well, hey, give us a call. If you'd like a pair of tickets, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, to call and win yourself a couple of tickets to the Capital City of Cage Fighting Championships. Well, I got to tell you, tomorrow, good friend Jeremy Sampson will be coming in tomorrow for the next two Fridays. You can meet, you can hear Jeremy Sampson sitting here right here on AM 870, and he'll be here tomorrow to talk with you and to talk with Aaron and give you some good information on a variety of sports here in the Mid-Michigan area. So we look forward to hearing from Jeremy tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, we've got about 3 minutes left in today's show. I've still got time to take a call. If you'd like to give us a call, talk sports with us. Remember, you've got the NBA championships tonight, and then the NBA season will be officially over, and the pro season will be over, and then all you have to look for is the Tigers. And, you know, we haven't talked about the Tigers lately, but the Tigers are finally starting to make some noise. People are starting to feel a little bit more comfortable with them. They're only trailing three games to first place. So, you know, you have to be feeling pretty good about the Lions right now. I mean, the Tigers right now, don't you?
Yeah, you do. They're making some strides. You know, they're getting in the right direction. Granted, you know, they lost last night, I believe, 3-1 or something like that. Actually, they're playing right now. It's the top of the fourth, 0-0. But, you know, St. Louis has got two hits. Detroit's got one. But, I mean, you got to feel better. They kind of got their lineup a little bit more solidified, I think. Some of the starting pitching has been a little bit better. You know, not just Verlander. Some of the other guys have been a little bit better as well. And, you know, and maybe it's helped that it's, you know, got warmer out too. It's that it's been a little bit warmer out. But I think it's just, you know, it's taken longer than a lot of us, you know, expected. But, you know, you got to feel good about that. And, you know, some of their defensive stuff is still, you know, suspect in certain areas. But I've seen some plays the last few days that, you know, we didn't see before, you know, that I've seen Fielder make at first base and that I've seen Cabrera make at third base. And some other players as well have been, you know, making some nicer defensive plays, which is good to see. So, yeah, you got to feel good. They're only three games behind, as you said earlier. So, you know, three games and a division. That's in baseball. That's technically that's that in other sports that could be like a half a game or a one game. So, you know, I still expect them to win this division, no problem. But got to see. It's good to see that they're making some right strides.
Yes, people can be a little bit more comfortable and breathe easier than they had been now that the Tigers are finally starting to turn the corner, win some games, and still a couple of series. They've already won, I think, two or three of the last series they have played. So they've gone very well, and they're getting stronger at the right time. And Jim Leland, as we both heard all the criticism that Leland's facing and people still wanting him out and get fired. Well, that's quieted down a little bit. I'm not sure if it'll ever go away, but it's quieted down about him getting fired.
Yeah, it has. I mean, you got to blame someone, so why not blame the top dog, you know? So it's not his fault, you know, all of it, but, you know, you got to blame someone, but... Yeah, they're making the right strides and getting in the right direction.
Hey, I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back tomorrow and join Jeremy Sampson from TV10. He'll be right here sitting in the seat, and he'll tell you everything going on in the sports world tomorrow here on AM 870 WKAR. So I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling, and invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So make sure you have yourself a safe and a pleasant evening, and we'll look forward, Jeremy, we look forward to hearing from you. That's tomorrow right here on WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News in Washington.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.